We're in the series Gift of Righteousness. I'm Coach Jake, and we're going to be talking about some practical steps. We'll get to some practical steps. So if you're a note taker, we got those little notes right in front of you in pens. But I want to start off with a story. It's a story about a real moment of shame for me, or got to a real moment of shame. And when I was in fourth grade, I was in gym class, and at the time, I mean, I've never been much of an athlete, but I played a bunch of soccer growing up. And as a little fourth grader, I felt some pride about my soccer abilities, and we're playing soccer with some weird rules in gym class. And my gym teacher had left the room, and people weren't playing by the rules that he set. I'm a little frustrated with the game, but I finally get like a little breakaway, have this like amazing shot, scores, and the coach comes back into the gym, and he's like, oh no, like that doesn't count because you didn't follow these weird rules. And prideful, rageful Jake, I could take you back to that gym. I'm running backwards, like transitioning. I'm not very smart. I point at the coach while I cuss at him. It was only a couple words, but it was as bad as you can imagine. I'm going to leave it at that. And I say that. I mean, we're not that far away. It's like from me to Jason, right? I mean, like, he notices. People tend to notice when you cuss at them and point right at them. You know, like, oh, man. So, I'm not thinking clearly. So, he calls me over. I get in a lot of trouble there. I assume they're going to call my parents about it. They don't. And I have this weight on my head of, like, are they going to call my parents? Are they not? I know I'll get in less trouble if I tell them. But there's that hope that maybe you can just, like, somehow not get caught. And I can remember that was early enough in the week that on a Wednesday night, I was with my mom, just the two of us in the car waiting on my siblings after church. And I knew, like, this is my moment, right? I was much less scared of my mom than my dad for good reason. And I thought, like, I should tell her now. Like, this is the safest way to roll out this news to both of them. But I felt all this shame about what I had said. I knew it was going to be shocking to her. And I chickened out, right? And I was super stressed about it all week. And I remember I used to walk to school back then, and I remember on Friday after school walking my friends and thinking, like, I made it. Like, I made it through the whole week. I guess I'm going to get off, right? Like, I guess I've made it. And as I'm walking out of my elementary school, like, towards the parking lot, my dad flies into the parking lot, like, driving really fast, like he would when he's real angry, and slams into a parking space and gets out of the car and is like, get in the car, like, real angrily. And I know instantly, like, he knows. And the moment I really want to take you to, though, is he took me to our house, and I can remember being in my kitchen sink, being like this tall, right next to my kitchen sink, being like this tall. I'm going to look up to my mom, and he made me tell my mom what I had said, which I just, my son this week was asking me, like, do you ever cry? Because I'm emotionally deficient. I don't really ever cry often, at least. And but I was bawling as a little fourth grader trying to tell my mom. I felt so much shame getting those words out. And whether you cussed out your PE coach or not, my guess is you did something along the way, maybe way bigger deal than what I'm describing, but this is an easy one to start with. That you're like, man, if I had to get up and tell somebody I care about what I really did, I'd lose it, right? Like, the shame would be overwhelming. And the truth about all of us in this room is we've done shameful stuff, right? It's not all when we were fourth graders. And that intensity of having to give account and not measure up, it's rough. And we'll flip to our Bible passage. We're going to be in Romans chapter 3 is where we're going to get to. But I want to read you a rough verse from the chapter right before. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Romans chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is not those who hear the law, talking about God's rules from the Bible, it's not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Now that's a verse in Romans that doesn't get talked about nearly as much as some of these other verses we're going to talk about today. And it's saying that it's not about hearing the right things that lets you stand in front of God and talk face to face with God. It's about doing the right things, right? That God approves of people that do the right things. And when we all were reminded of some sort of shame moment for us, it's like, well, I don't want to get in front of my mom and talk about stuff, right? Like, much less get in front of God and talk about stuff, right? And I bring us to there because a lot of times people will come to church a lot and they hear truths about God, but they just want a little bit. Like, they just want enough to get out of trouble, right? Like, they just want to be like me walking home from school on Friday. Like, I think I made it, right? Like, I think I'm out of the woods, right? But it matters whether we obey and do the right things or not. But when we look at ourselves, it's like, but I don't measure up. Like, what do, you know? Where are we supposed to, how do we get there ever? And especially as you start to get to know Jesus, if you pay any attention to Jesus, you start seeing like Jesus does it a lot better than Jake does it. How am I supposed to be like that? The passage I'm going to read is going to talk a lot about grace, but I don't want us to ignore this desire for righteousness. The serve team was reading this morning in the Beatitudes, and Jesus talks about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they'll be filled, right? Like, we should want to do the right thing. And if today you're like, oh man, I just want to not feel bad anymore. Right? If that's where you came to church, like, I just want to get out of here with a little shot in the arm for some peace and some energy to keep going. If you were with me there and you thought of a shameful moment, think back to that person that you hurt. And like, aren't you hungry to not do that sort of thing again? Like, to be the type of person I don't know if this is helpful or not on the hungry side. I told you an embarrassing story, so I'll tell you kind of a good one too, maybe. That same dad who got so mad at me, I can remember him sitting me down one room over. That was the kitchen that I was like crying. One room over when I was 18, I'm in this, next to this fireplace where I cracked my head open as a little kid. I got a little scar. That same spot where I'd been scarred earlier, my parents sat me down and I was trying to figure out what college to go to. And I had a couple scholarships. I was trying to figure out, should I go here? It's this Christian school, or should I go here? It's this state school that's not trying to follow Jesus at all. And I remember my parents sitting me down and my dad talking to me, and both my parents talking to me about just that they had seen a lot of Jesus' light shining through me at my high school. And they thought I should go to Missouri State because they thought I would have an impact for Jesus there. And my siblings hadn't done that. It wasn't like they were just making that up out of nowhere. They trusted, like, you should go somewhere where people don't know Jesus because you're going to help them. And why do I share that story? Like, is this idea of, like, Jesus had done some stuff in me from the time I was in a fourth grade to the time I was in 12th, where my parents went from being, like, shocked, I can't believe you would say that, to they were, like, confident that Jesus was going to do stuff through me. And I'm far from perfect. I got a lot of stories to tell. I told some stories a couple weeks ago, right? There's a lot of struggles. But when Jesus is here on earth, his Father says something even more impressive than my parents said to me. I was just reading in Mark this morning. And when Jesus is baptized, like, God speaks about, like, this is my Son. And at the Transfiguration, God speaks to the disciples. He says, like, this is my Son. With him, I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When we hear that sort of statement, a lot of us are like, oh yeah, Jesus is great, which is 100% true. But Jesus' plan for each one of us is to follow in his footsteps, right? Like John 14, 15, 16, Jesus says, like, just as the Father sent me, I want to send you. In Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus talks about making us holy, sanctifying us. He's going to get us to the spot where we're his siblings and there's no shame. Where he's saying that Becca is worthy to be right there next to him at God's table, right? Like, he's going to work on us until we're exactly right, like that, right? Till Stephanie's like that and Jason's like that, to all of us, right? Till Serenity's like that, right? till each one of us is exactly a sibling, not just by like some sort of fancy name swap, but like actually acts like a child of God, like sits at the table as a member of the family with no shame in between. How do we get to that? Because I can tell you it's an amazing thing. I can tell you as a 17 or 18 year old, like it really impacted me to have my parents tell me like, we think you're going to do great. And I know a lot of people don't get to have that sort of conversation with their parents. I know none of us make ourselves good. But if you stick with Jesus, you're going to have a conversation with your Heavenly Father that's better than the one that I have with my parents, right? Where he says, you are my child and I'm well pleased with you. And I actually want other people to listen to you. Like he's going to get us to that spot, right? Like some of us, our first step is just to talk less, right? We do less damage when we talk less, right? At some point, God's going to want your voice to be heard because he's put enough of himself in you, right? He trusts you. So we're going to read this very famous passage about grace and about righteousness, but I don't want you just to water it down to like, oh, good, I don't have to feel guilty. Like you're missing the goodness that Jesus has for you if you just take that, okay? So Romans chapter 12, chapter 3, starting in verse 12. But here on the screen, I'd love for you to read it in front of you as well. So verse 12 on this next slide, it says, but now, apart from the law, like apart from just following everything like a Pharisee, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So the Old Testament is telling us about this amazing thing that God's now revealed. It's good to have you right in front of me. So verse 21. I told you guys the wrong verses. I'm sorry. So verse 21 through 31. I'm sorry to catch you guys up. So verse 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Verse 22. This righteousness is given through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So it doesn't matter what your family was like. Doesn't matter what your education was like. Doesn't matter if you came from quote-unquote good people or people far away from God or whatever. What matters is faith. Faith is this idea of having hope that also involves trust, right? Like faith involves action, right? So hope sometimes is like, oh, I really hope the weather's good, right? But you're not really doing anything about it, right? And that's because it's the weather. It's just something you hope about, right? Faith is this idea of like, I hope and I'm doing something in the same vein, right? You're putting weight where your faith is. So hope would be like, man, I hope Jesus forgives a lot. That would just be like a hope. But a faith is like, I believe Jesus wants to make me good, right? I'm going to take some steps to be the person that I believe Jesus is going to make me into, right? It's trust. Combines there, right? Verse 23 is like our super famous verse, if you're familiar with Romans. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if you came in today and you thought, like, man, I'm perfect. I'm surprised that you've made it this far. The only way you feel really good about yourself is if you've only been judgmentally looking at other people, right? And selecting how they're worse than you or something, right? But if you really look with open eyes, like, none of us live like Jesus lived. None of us forgive people. None of us love our enemies. None of us stand up for persecuted people. None of us stand against injustice. None of us share like Jesus shared. None of us have the courage or the power. I mean, like, we fall short, right? And we fall short because we mess it up. Verse 24, we've all sinned, but verse 24, and are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we don't buy our way into heaven. We don't earn our way into heaven. It's Jesus did stuff for us to get us there, right? Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. He's done it. But now you got to walk into it, right? So he gives you the present wrapped up, right? But you got to unwrap it and put it on, right? Like you got to do stuff with what he's done. So if you came here today and you're like, man, I've messed up stuff so bad, that's okay. Like Jesus has done more than you've ever done. Like, his goodness poured out for you outweighs anything you could have done, right? As a pastor of Maywood, I've heard some really crazy confessions, right? Like, I've heard some stuff that's way more graphic and, like, sticks with me more than any horrible movie I've ever seen or something. Like, people have done some really, really bad stuff, right? And sometimes it's real bad with a baseball bat, and I've heard those stories, or sometimes it's just, like, betraying somebody that maybe, you know, it wouldn't be R-rated or whatever, but it's something that somebody who looks nice did to somebody else, right? And to God, it's like, man, that's a gross, gross thing, right? We all have fallen short, but Jesus has done more than any of us. Like, Jesus' goodness outweighs anything that we've done, right? Verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. This is just what I was saying, right? Like, he atones for us through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. I'm going to pause us for there for a second. It takes trust that you really are good with God because of Jesus. Your mind is going to tell you, yeah, but you need to make up for what you did. Or you're not. He doesn't really love you, or you need to do more. It takes trust to realize, like, Jesus really has washed it. As soon as you go to Jesus and say, God, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry for that. Jesus covers it, right? And even if you haven't remembered all the laundry over this, right? As soon as you go to Jesus in general and say, like, I need you, please forgive me. He's covering all of that, right? It takes trust to accept that gift, right? It's going to explain to us, why did God do it this way? It says, God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. A lot of us get really angry that God doesn't punish other people for the horrible stuff they do. And it makes sense, because people do some terrible stuff to each other. But I think we're all pretty happy God hasn't punished us right when we did stuff, right? But God doesn't just let a bunch of evil happen and not pay any attention to it, right? It's talking about here, like, he's been really patient and he's not punished everything, right? Verse 26, God did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ Jesus. If you're not understanding this, I'm just going to get it real quick. Sometimes as an adult when you're playing with kids, especially like little toddlers or something, it's like you have to build the thing and show them how to break it and show them how to build it again. I mean, you have to almost do like every part. And that's basically what God's describing here, is like God's doing it all. Like, God is taking care of the punishment side of stuff. He's taking care of the making people righteous. He's doing all sides of it. And you don't have to understand it all, but realize like God's going to make everything right. And it does involve punishment, but that's really not our job, so we don't have to figure all that out, but it's getting into some of that here, right? And so, like, sometimes when you see stuff, you're like, man, that person deserves something horrible. You might even be right, right? But you can trust that piece of it to God, right? You can pray about, like, God, help with that. That's your area, right? But God comes in on the other end. Like, his mission for folks isn't to end with punishment. His mission for folks is to end that they become part of his family, right? Like, that's what he is striving for, and he's willing to die for, right? Like, he's going to chase you as hard as he can. He's going to do every bit of it he can to open the door as wide as he can so you can walk through it, right? So you can accept new life with him, right? Let's read on a little further. It's 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. Here's real quick on that. If you've done some good stuff today or last week, or maybe you fed, you know, a million people that were starving, or you healed some disease or whatever you've done, maybe you picked up more trash than the other guy that lives at Maple House. I don't know. Like, whatever you've done that you're like, I feel pretty good about who I am. You're off the path with Jesus as soon as you feel like I'm important, I'm better than somebody else. When you realize all that Jesus has done, there's no room left to feel prideful, but there is that room to feel connected and good with God, to feel like a true child of God, to feel like I have a real place in this family. When you have a real place in a family, you're not like pushing the other siblings down to feel good about yourself, right? People who attack each other don't feel secure in their place, right? When you feel secure and loved, you don't need to attack the other people right around you, right? Boasting is a way of attacking people to try to lift yourself up, right? Verse 28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So none of us get to God by doing the next right thing. So why do we talk about doing the next right thing so much? Well, we'll get there here in a second. Verse 29. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Verse 30. Since there's only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. What he's talking about there is some people from a young age get taught about God. And they come from a family that knows God. And that's an advantage in some ways. But at the end of the day, what matters is what's going on inside your heart, not what's happened with your upbringing or your heritage or whatever else. That's the real basic, right? We could talk more deeply about the Jewish people and their whole story in the Old Testament. But the basic idea there is like some people start off with a heritage of connection with God. But wherever you started, it's important where your heart gets at with God, right? So here's our last verse for today, verse 31. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Now this one is like, wait, didn't we just say that none of us are going to earn it, that we don't do it by the law? I wish I could just read the whole book of Romans to you. Like, it's worth reading yourself. Like, he goes into all this argument stuff. Here's what I want to explain from this, though. None of us can make ourselves do the right next thing all the time. And if you really try hard at it, then you start to see how weak you are, right? Until you really try, you don't know how bad you are at doing the next right thing, right? But just try to be fully honest. Just try to never gossip. Just try to always be generous, just whatever it is, right? Like, whatever virtue you see in Jesus, if you try to do that all the time and never fail at it, you're going to see that you don't measure up, right? But here he's not saying we nullify the law. He's not saying like, oh, just throw out the Ten Commandments or whatever else. It doesn't matter what we do because Jesus is going to forgive us. Paul gets angry about that sort of concept, right? Like, we don't use the cross as an excuse. I don't know if you guys have ever had a friend who did wrong stuff but tried to like use you to get out of the wrong stuff. Like, oh, it's okay that I'm doing that because my parents, blah, blah, blah. It's okay that I'm doing that because my friend, da, 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 da. It's not good for the relationship, right? When we have faith that Jesus has died for us, that Jesus has made us a part of his family, that Jesus is going to give us the gift of righteousness, then we can start doing the next right thing his way. When you know that God loves you, you're going to be able to forgive somebody else in your life in a way that you can't when you don't know that God loves you. When you know that God loves you, you're going to be able to share with somebody even when it hurts you to share with them, right? When you come from that spot of trusting God loves you and is good to you, then you can start doing the right thing for the right reason at a level that you never could otherwise. Now, some of you are here today and you're like, I've heard that before. I'm going to try, but how's this going to be any different? I'm really excited for next week because Coach Daniel is going to be bringing us a message about living in the Spirit and responding to God's love. But if you go this week and don't really try to obey Jesus, you're not going to get as much out of next week as you could. But if you will go this week and say, you know what, I don't understand everything, but I got faith that Jesus has made me right with God the Father. He's forgiven me. And Jesus can make me into a good man. Jesus can make me into a good woman. So I'm going to do something about it. That trying to do something about it this week, honestly, you're going to fail some, right? But like, the trying to do it is going to open your heart up, right? There might be some pain. It's going to open your heart up, and then Daniel next week is going to bring you this message about, like, here's how the Holy Spirit and how God's love can fill that more. But if you don't try, you're going to miss out, right? Because Paul, the passage before what Daniel's going to preach on, Paul talks about, like, I'm a wretched person because I keep trying to do the right thing and I keep messing up. if you don't experience that yourself, then you're not going to be ready for the thing he says next. It's good to experience, like, I keep trying to do the right thing, and I can't quite make it. So I'm going to give you guys one more analogy, and then leave you to some practical stuff. So here's this last picture here I've got for you. About a month ago, I started swimming for exercise. I'm a total amateur at swimming. I learned how to swim as a kid, and I've not done it a ton since then. And so about a month ago when I started to start swimming, you know, I'd gotten a little membership at Bridger, the little middle school here, and I went in, and my whole goal that first day was just to get in the pool, right? So I got in the pool, I swam like down and back, and I was super winded, and I was done, right? And then I went home and watched some YouTube videos and realized, like, I'm a terrible swimmer. Like, everything I did was wrong. But it was actually good that I just got in the pool. Like, honestly, like, that was really good to just get in the pool and swim down and back twice. So now, yesterday I went and swam down and back like five times, right? I'm still pretty bad. And I'm still not really doing it the way that YouTube says you're supposed to do it. But I'm doing better, right? YouTube says you're only supposed to let like one eye get above the water when you breathe. I wasn't even trying to keep my head below water the first time I swam, right? But like, so what am I talking about with that? Some of us are coming to church for a long time and we know a whole bunch of stuff and we're not getting any healthier. And this week, like, I really want to tell you, like, it's about, like, just get yourself in the pool. It's okay if you kind of do it half wrong, right? And after you do it once and then you read the Bible again, you're going to get a lot more out of the Bible, right? Like, I got a lot more watching YouTube videos after I'd swam terrible, right? Like, the swimming terrible set me up for what to learn. Like, I bet as a kid, no matter what upbringing you had, and I know some of you guys had some crazy stuff happen as a kid, but I bet as a kid, just like I learned how to swim, I bet you learned something about how to act good when you were a kid. Just do that thing that you know how to do. And then read the Bible and see what you could do better. And then try to do that thing again, but do it Jesus' way. And read the Bible, how to get better. This last slide's like a little grid for this week. If you're like, I don't know where to read it in the Bible, James 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is about how we treat other people, especially in the world, and how we act. Ephesians 4 and 5 is about how we treat Christians. And so, like, if you want to read Ephesians 4 and 5 on kind of church days and James, go for that. If you want to do something different, you can go for something different. Here's the thing I'll tell you. Last thing is I was downstairs in Sunday school, and I had my hand kind of like this, and I could smell a little, like, super faint chlorine. And I have showered since yesterday. But I've just been in the pool enough this week, only a few times. It was enough, though, that, like, there's a real faint chlorine on me still, right? What if this next week, when your mind wanders this next Sunday, what if you catch some whiff or your mind returns to something good you did this week, right? Some area of your life that you're improving on, even if you're a novice and terrible. Like, I'm still terrible at swimming, right? But I'm in motion, right? Like, it's upward. And you could do that same thing this week. Do something good you already knew how to do as a kid. Do it the best you can, even if it's terrible, and then read the Bible and do it again, right? It's very simple, I know, but it's going to set you up for next week. I want to pray a blessing over you guys if you guys are bowing your heads. Jesus, I was reminded of that scar I've got on my forehead from that fireplace, and then I'm reminded of my dad speaking so confidently to me right next to that fireplace. And I want to pray over each person in this room. We all have scars. I pray this week, even in the area where there's been scars in the past, that you would speak to us about our identity and who we are in you. That the very places that have been scarred would become memories of healing with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.